Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Finally, last point, and if you need me to read those points again, you want me to email you the notes, I can. Last point, let's read 1 Corinthians 10:32 to 11:1, and we've almost come full circle to the entire beginning of my message tonight. Let me start at 33 again. No, 32. Chapter 10, verse 32. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of the many, so that they may be saved. 11:1. Follow my what?
Example.
As I follow the example of who?
Christ.
What is the ninth point of practicing Christian liberty? Imitate Christ, but imitate who? Who's imitating Christ? Imitate me. You see, Paul's functioning, Serge, that's arrogant. No. Stop it. That's not what I'm doing. I'm fighting for your soul. Paul is the pastor at the Corinthian church. And what is he? How does he set their minds at ease? In practicing your Christian liberty, do all things for the glory of God. And seek the salvation of others and the edification of your brothers. And when all is said and done, follow what? My example as I follow Christ. He says at the Corinthian church on purpose. He says, look at me. Ask me. Do what I do. And so my message to you, application point 9 in practicing Christian liberty, is follow my example. That's why I'm here, because I love you. I want you to look at Tammy and look at me and say, how do they live their lives? And how do they make decisions about alcohol and tattoos and dating and social media and clothing and all of that, and imitate us? I don't get anything out of it. I don't control you. But I'm following Christ, and I want you to follow my example. That's why you have pastors. Follow your pastors. Not just me. It's not a CERN show. We have a multiplicity of pastors, multiple elders that serve as shepherds for the church. Follow us. It's good. Paul says at the Corinthian church. So don't, when you come to these big decisions, and you're about to pull the trigger on something, don't go, oh, I'm not going to Serge. I know what he's going to say. If you know what I'm going to say, awesome. We don't even have to meet. Praise the Lord. I don't mean that irreverently. You already figured it out. Follow my advice. But if you want advice, call us up. Text me. Ask me. Bring me the hard questions. I want to function as a spiritual shepherd, as a father in a sort in your life, or an older brother. Yes. Follow your pastor's example and those who exercise spiritual headship in your life. Beloved, please stop taking my instruction and my discernment on matters as merely preference or peripheral or optional. Let me read that again. This is hearkening back to the beginning of the message tonight. Beloved, please stop taking my instruction, whether it's a challenging philosophy class from a year ago on topics you don't like to hear about, which you need to. Please stop taking my instruction and my discernment on matters as merely preference or peripheral or optional, and rather take it seriously and take it to heart and take it for what it is, a pastor who is genuinely interested only in your spiritual good. What other motivation do I have here? I've lived a little bit longer than you, not a ton, but a little bit. I've studied the Word. I've been called to pastor, affirmed and ordained in a sense as a lay elder by the church, and I give instruction in the church. So see my example and the example of your pastors and follow it. And ask Tammy and I. Ask questions. Take us seriously. Not because we're perfect, but because why? Because we follow Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Why follow us? Because we follow Christ. Follow our examples. We follow Christ. But how do we know you're trustworthy, you ask? I know, the question pops in your head. Serge, Tammy, how do we know you're trustworthy, worthy to be followed on these difficult questions of Christian liberty? And I ask you, have we been together that long and you still don't know me? And you don't know my wife? Are we trustworthy? And yet, I'll respond to your question still with grace. Because I understand that question, saying, how do we know you're trustworthy? And here's my answer. And that wasn't to be mean. Do you not yet know me? But it's a legitimate question. Have we been so long together and you still don't know me if I'm trustworthy? But that's okay, I understand. It's a natural human question. So I'll do what Paul did. Examine our life, Tammy and I. Examine our doctrine. Examine our home. Examine our testimony in front of you in the church. Who have we injured? 2 Corinthians 7. Paul says this. Incidentally, one of the most profound statements on holiness in all of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, from God, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. He says, make yourselves perfect before the Lord in pursuit of holiness. And then now the application about a pastor. Paul goes, make room for us in your hearts. College career sisters, can you please make room for us in your hearts? He says this, we've wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've exploited no one. We haven't exploited you for anything. I do not say this to condemn you. I'm reading Paul. I have said before that you have such, I want you to hear this, guys, written by Paul, but from me to you. Please listen. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts, Tammy and I, that we would live or die with you. I don't eat for you to not fail in your faith. You have such a place in our hearts. We would live or die with you. I've spoken to you with great frankness, he says. I take great pride in you. Haven't I told you that? I take great pride in you. I listed all the things you're doing so well at spiritually. I take great pride in you, and I'm greatly encouraged. Guys, I'm telling you the truth. This is all Paul. And in all our troubles, Tammy and I, in our sacrifices, he says this, my joy knows no bounds. I just got the chills. It's true. You bring me so much joy. Everything Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7, I can say to you. And I would say this, go read all of 2 Corinthians 10 through 12, and you will see in those three chapters, 2 Corinthians 10 through 12, a defense of mine and Tammy's ministry to you. You'll see a defense of it. In 2 Corinthians 11, he says this, I repeat, listen to this, let no one take me for a fool. Listen, guys, sisters, don't take me for a fool. This is all Paul, but I'm saying it to you. But if you do take me for a fool, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so I can do a little boasting. And in this self-confident boasting, he's about to say why he has a claim as a spiritual mentor to them. He's laying a claim on why he really should, they should look to him for spiritual discipleship. He's kind of, in quotes, saying boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking like as the Lord would, but I'm talking like a fool. So take me as a fool, he says. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. And he says, as you gladly put up with fools since you're so wise. Now, that's a little tough talk, but I'm saying it to you. You gladly put up fools because you guys are so wise. You know. You know how to navigate all these decisions. From this to everything we touched on tonight. You know how to handle all of it. Right? So you gladly put up with these people who lie to you. Who lie to your soul. And then he says this. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or slaps you in the face, spiritually. You guys put up with people that slap you in the face following these nonsense doctrines. And he goes, to my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. So he says, he was like, I was too weak to slap you Corinthians in the face. He's being sarcastic. But to my shame, I'm too weak to ever confront you like that. I would never do that. Right? He's showing his weakness. And then after that, he goes on through the rest of chapter 11 to delineate and name all the instances of suffering on behalf of the church, boasting in all of that in order to prove his authentic love and teaching. Like I said, shipwrecked and stoned and no food, no sleep. He says all these things that show his weakness to show them, I've loved you. No one's loved you like I've loved you. And I'm here to tell you, all these people on social media, all this garbage you're hearing, being fed in the culture and in the movies, they haven't loved you like I've loved you. Nope, not like Tammy has. Now, we aren't sinking to that level, slapping you in the face, or extracting money from you, like these false teachers would. All we're doing is sacrificing and suffering to see Christ formed in you. That's all we're doing. I was like, Tam, let's do a guys and girls night. Huh? Great idea. She's like, yeah, great idea. A couple weeks later, I'm like, oh my goodness. A, because the Lord put on my heart what to talk about, and B, I had to announce at a Little League game last night because I need my work bond to get my money back because it's really expensive to play Little League in Tom's River. So you put like 2 hours of service in, they give you a little money back. So I'm at a Little League, like, next up at bat, number 24. I don't even know really any of the rules to baseball. So I'm like, what do I say next? Okay, tonight I had this. Tomorrow, I'm not boasting. I'm my weakness. Look at my week schedule, and I'm not very organized. By the way, I had to listen to a MacArthur sermon this morning on a lot of this, like nobody's business, and my phone was full. Wouldn't you believe it? I could not download a MacArthur sermon. So I spent 2 hours last night, went to bed, absurdly late, to extract everything off my phone, because my phone was acting funny, so I can get a MacArthur sermon dumped on there. I'm boasting my weakness. This is how disorganized my schedule is. I got way low on sleep, okay? Now, I started camp this week, by the way, at work, okay? Then I had you guys tonight, which is a blessing, but, you know, weighing on my heart. Tomorrow, we agreed to, sorry we won't be at the congressional meeting, I apologize, we agreed to go to the Lakewood Blue Claws game with our kids, so we'd be out in the world, and I didn't know it was the same night. Thursday, I got the men. Friday, I have to try and write a paper. Tammy was supposed to have women's time. Saturday, I got college group, and my paper's due Sunday. This was, and I couldn't believe I picked this week out of the whole summer to do these studies. Now, all that to say is, what are Tammy and I getting out of you, please, someone, having these discussions? All we're doing is sacrificing and suffering to see Christ formed in you. Galatians 4, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. I'm like a woman in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Paul said that to the Galatian church, and I'm saying that to you. How I wish I could be with you when you're doing these things and change my tone, because quite frankly, I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed why you do these things. Okay. I'm perplexed by some of your behavior and choices and direction. So now, breathe. Can we get practical, nitty-gritty, and into some details? That's a question. Can I give you some pastoral counsel that you may be inclined to heed on some tough stuff? Because this whole night you're probably like, what the heck is he talking about? What is he getting at, abuse of liberty? I just gave you all the theology, what the law is, what freedom is, what it calls us to, and 9 ways to practice Christian liberty based on the text, and now I'm going to tell you where you are abusing liberty. Okay? Dry the tears, stay with me, I will not talk to you like I do the man. Love you. Area of abuse of liberty. This is the hard part. Okay. Hopefully I won your hearts, and now you're ready to hear. That's what you do with the word. You press it in the heart. Get the heart opened up, soften it up, right? Mold it like soil, and now, here it is. First area that I find you guys abusing liberty is casual social drinking. You need to stop. You need to stop drinking recklessly. If it's your liberty to drink, practice it privately and with discretion. Now, if you're like, Serge, this is just your thing, you know? You're like, got a hobby horse. Listen and let this strike deep into your heart and in your mind with the sober power that accompanies what I'm about to read you. I want this to sink in with the sober force that it's intended to have. This issue in the college and career group has become enough of a problem so as to come to the attention of the Grace Bible elders. And I was at a meeting a long time ago, many, many months ago, and it came out. And I was like, and I guess it was my pride, I'm a conservative guy, and I teach conservative. And my jaw dropped, and I said, my ministry? My kids? And the others were like, yeah. A lot of drinking going on, and it's getting noticed, and it's not good. Is that my ministry? Like, I don't know. I'm like the most conservative guy I know. Like, I'm always telling them, like, run from sin. And they're like, yeah, that's a big deal. I never had that happen. So, okay, Serge, if it's that serious, what does this look like? Well, I'm certainly not spying on you, and I'm not going to give you A, B, and C of rules. That's for you to figure out and pray over and come ask me for specific questions if you have questions. But I would say here's some recommendations, okay? Wisdom. Who are you to tell us? I just did 45 minutes on why you should listen to your pastor, okay? So don't get that out of your head. Who am I to tell you? I'm your pastor. How's that? Don Whitney, I was watching a lecture from Southern, and he said something about a church service, how they shouldn't do something in a church service. And he goes, and people might say, who are you to say that? And he goes, I'm the pastor. It's like, yeah. We don't have that sense of authority anymore in this kind of like very egalitarian, everybody's equal, independent, I'm my person, hear me roar type of culture. We don't understand like roles. Okay, I'm functioning as a pastor. Take my advice to heart. Number one, any drinking of alcohol with non-believers must be handled with absolute caution. Usually avoided, and definitely not living up the bar scene or going to events with, quote, designated drivers or where your Christianity is muted or shadowed or tarnished. For example, getting a beer with an old college friend, Pete DiCarlo, who I see once every 5 years, might invite me to go get a burger at a joint, and I never see him. And I'm a witness to him in my conversation, and if I'm sitting, I'm not going to tell you what I do or what I'm going to do, but if I were to have a beer with Pete as I'm dialoguing with him on life and, not that the beer helps, I just mean we're together and I'm not making him feel awkward. He wanted to have a beer. I didn't want to make him feel awkward. I'm, right? Don't be a legalist, right? The Bible says, eat the meat. You're with the guy. It's fine. Okay? That is totally different than partying in Asbury until 2 a.m. at a bar. It's totally different. Right? So I'm not creating rules for you. I'm giving recommendations. You're going to drink with unbelievers. You better be real careful because you are playing with fire, not only for self, but for their soul too. And if you give them any indication that abuse of alcohol is at all permissible or wise, you are helping to damn their souls. Your participation does not save them. Your abstinence will. Amen? So be very careful. Another example, champagne toast. Or a drink at a wedding or a celebration, you have a glass of wine. Dude, I'm at weddings with you guys, and like the champagne toast is like, this is what pastors go through. It's like the most nerve-wracking moment of the day. I'm like, who's looking? And maybe you're like, nobody's looking. But you know, people look at pastors. So I'm like, I did three different things this Saturday. I didn't want anybody, because I've been talking alcohol, so I didn't want you guys to think that if you ever alcohol touched your lips, you'd be a freak. So I'm like, all right, I'll just have a sip so they feel okay. So I had a sip. Then I look at Tanya. She's like, you go to Southern. You're not allowed to have alcohol. I'm like, and then I forgot. It's part of being at Southern. So then I'm like, all right, I'll just lift it up. So they don't think like I can't. I don't want you to think I'm a legalist. Like I can't touch it. Like I'll turn to stone. So I just lifted it for the next one. Okay. Then I saw a good Christian brother and sister, married, godly couple. Every time they only drank water. I'm like, that's awesome. So the third time, I drank my water. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but like, what's fueling me? Can you tell me in those situations? Love for who? Love for you guys. I don't care about the stupid shit. I just want to do what will help you. Not be a legalist, but also really be very careful with alcohol. So having a champagne toast or a drink at a wedding or a celebration is far different than a bachelorette party where you're like, oh yeah, drinking the night away. And you guys do that and have done that. You got to stop doing that. I don't care that they were your best friend since childhood. If they're a pagan, their bachelorette party is a bad idea. And I was friends with guys who got married who were pagans, and there was a point at that night or that day, if I went at all, where I said, thank you, good night. Because you know, every pagan bachelor party has strippers show up. And every girl bachelorette party, you know what's going to happen. Something. I don't know what happens. I don't go to one. But something not good. So get the heck out of there. I'm not supposed to say heck, sorry. You know what I mean? Get out of there. All right. Here's your second thing with alcohol. Any general gathering of believers from the church should not have alcohol. Any general gathering of the believers from the church should not have alcohol. Why not? Give me some reasons. We've talked about it. What? Right. Someone might have an alcohol addiction, or a parent or a family member that was addicted to alcohol. You know the background. Give me another reason. College career. What's the starting age? No, it's not. What's the starting age for college career? 18. So a big college career party. Sorry, I caught you off guard. I know. I caught you off guard. Sorry. I didn't mean to be quick. No, sorry. You're like, oh, it wasn't tough till right now. Sorry. 18. So you have a get-together. Oh, I know what you can do. You can exclude everybody under 21. That's real nice. Awesome. Wow, you're practicing Christian liberty. How about don't have it? Because you got 18-year-olds. What's another problem? What does alcohol, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, usually do to people? I've told you 100 times. Run the booze, what comes off?
Morals and values.
Yeah, let's be a little bit more graphic.
The clothes
come off. All right, yeah, but we're Christians. We're not going to, hey, dude, I know, but you don't know what level people are at. So you might be fine at your Christian gathering having alcohol, but you just cued one of your Christian brothers and sisters in that like this participation in alcohol thing is like totally cool, and they go to a worldly party and they just lost their purity because you weren't having no regard for higher things, for holiness. So my exhortation is when you have a gathering of believers from church, just don't have the alcohol. Now, some liberties I do practice with very intimate friends. I've told you that with close family. But beyond that, no. No. And particularly even at weddings, I think would be arguable that Tammy and I could very discreetly have a glass of wine as part of a celebration. It's cultural. But even there, we don't. For us, because we don't want to be seen doing it in front of you. Now, where does it end? Where does the abuse of Christian liberty in the area of substances end? Where does it end? How about this? How about hookah at a Christian party, right? Hookah. You know what a hookah is? Smoke tobacco through it. Not a drug. I mean, it's a drug, but come on. We're at a Christian party. Nobody's getting drunk. Serge, there was no alcohol. We brought out hookahs. Huh. Okay. You know what the Bible says? We read it. Do not even have the appearance of earthly things. Gratifying. But do not have the appearance. What's a hookah used for, like really mostly? Smoking weed, getting high. It's big with the hippies. You know you could use hookahs with just water and steam. Awesome. You know what that is? An abuse of Christian liberty. Because you have the appearance of things that are putrid. What? A hookah at a party? With Christians? Let's all gather around and smoke a bit. And then use the paraphernalia used by potheads. Because that definitely doesn't have the appearance of worldliness and sensuality, right? Yeah, I'm laying it on a little thick. What about when marijuana is legalized? You know we're around the corner, guys. Marijuana's about to legalize. Oh, we're fine, Serge. We already get it. Yeah, you're fine. But you abuse your Christian liberty. The next generation comes up, what? You push it, they're going to push it farther. Once marijuana gets legalized, all the pastors have to do is just roll over and say, well, there's no what? No verse. Everything's permissible. So I guess smoking pot is a liberty now. Where are we going? Guys, stop it. Not good. We're not following our upward calling in Christ. No, hookah, bad idea at a Christian party. Drinking, bad idea at a Christian get-together. All right, let's go to another example of abuse of liberty. Said alcohol. Number one. Number two, media. Stop watching and listening to trash. Just stop. Just because it's out there and very popular doesn't mean it falls under the category of profitable, godly, or Christian liberty. Most movies do not. You mean it really limits what I watch? Read your Bible. You decide. You tell me. You want to participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness? Or you want to expose them with the light of Christ? It says not even talk about what they do in secret. Let me read something to you. Here's a description of a recent movie, and I'll tell you what it is. You tell me if this sounds good for Christians. Now, guys, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Calm down. But I'm not going to allow Satan's foothold of sin and deception in your lives to muzzle me. Did you follow that? Just because you struggle with something and made mistakes in the past, or maybe bad decisions or not good discernment, or have said things or exposed yourself in certain ways, doesn't mean now I'm muzzled and can't preach for the benefit of the souls of my sisters in Christ. I will preach. I'm not pointing at you. Just let's move forward. If you made a mistake or bad discernment, we're moving forward. Grace. But listen, here's the description. You tell me that this sounds good for Christians. Brutal beatings. This is a movie. Common Sense Media. Not a Christian website. Secular website just gives you information on movies. This particular movie. Brutal beatings, impalings, stabbings, and sudden smashings and crushings. Characters are tortured. One scene is implied to be taking place after sex. One character gets out of bed while the other remains there. There's loving kisses between couples. Not constant, but there's a couple uses of SH, plus words including a hole. I don't want to say these. Now, I want it to sink in. You know what? Because I don't use profane language, and these aren't curse words, but, I mean, they're kind of curse words. What's a curse word? Something vulgar. A hole, douchebag, nutsack, D-A-M-M-I-T, that one I want to say, D space K-hole, so I think it's reference to male genitals. Moving on. Hell, crap, bastard, jerk, sucks, stupid, screwed, God as an exclamation, and two suggested but incomplete uses of the F word, and one character says, chill the F out, and there's a cutoff use of mother effer.
Deadpool?
No. Close. That's even worse. I think that's R. That's bad. Close, though. This one's not even R. Do you hear that? Before I tell you, you tell me if that's good for Christians. You want me to repeat that?
It's not good that,
for? No, no. That's PG-13. That was awkward. You want me to read it again? We got to feel. Do you feel how uncomfortable it is to hear me? You never heard me say words like that. I'm sorry. Christ looked ugly on the cross to expose. Yeah. Christ was ugly on the cross to expose the ugliness of sin. So I was just a little bit ugly there. Forgive my profanity. What movie? That was Infinity Wars, the Avengers movie. And I heard people in the church talking it up, planning events to go. Use discretion, guys. Did you hear all that profanity? But that was... Pick a side. Christ is radical. How about the music scene? Bars and clubs, secular messages and content, and worldly environment. All that stuff is just automatically acceptable, right? It's edifying because it's art and it's the music scene. It's useful for fellowship for believers. Let's all go out to bars and secular environments to hear godless music without a question, because it falls under Christian liberty, right? I don't think so. Everything's permissible. Not everything's profitable to take your sisters to those places. Not everything's constructive. I'm next constructive. Have a prayer meeting rather than going to their places. All right, number three. I said alcohol, media. Forgive me for saying that stuff, guys. I hated saying that in front of you. I hope it sunk in. And the funny thing is, it's weird. Maybe it wasn't. I hope it was weird. It's weird to hear it from me as a brother in Christ. But we mute that when we see it. We don't even notice the foul language and the blasphemy of God's name. Don't forget, in all that profanity, I said God is used his name in vain as an exclamation in that movie. So search. We went to a study and search tools. We couldn't watch Marvel movies anymore. Come on. Seriously, is that what you're walking away with? I said use discretion and find out what pleases the Lord. I don't care what it is. And I love the superhero movies, man. It's been hard not to watch those. See, these are a group of girls, so you're probably like, what's Infinity? No, I didn't mean that. I was gender biased, sorry. You're like, Infinity Wars? Who cares? Dude, superhero movies were awesome since I was little. Like the old Superman with the guy who broke his neck. Christopher Reeves? Oh, my mom would play the soundtrack on the piano or play it, and that's when I'd like fly around at Superman cape. Dude. I know it sounds like silly. I had to give it all up. I don't watch any more superhero movies. And guys at work were like, see the new trailer for Deadpool, which is really bad. Or New Avengers? And I'm like, because like I love when like the Hulk punches stuff. But I don't. I know it sounds childish. But it is childish. Do you see? What I cling to at the expense of identifying with Jesus? Stupid movies? Get rid of it. For your sake, I don't watch them. So I could sit here and say, I don't watch them. So you could say, can you survive not watching them? Yes. Watch me and my home and tell me if we survive. You can do it. All right, third one, immodesty. And of course I was going there. Listen, stop dressing provocatively, girls. We're not always doing well in here, but in that, not in here, in that issue by any stretch. Some are. All right, I don't want to be scared of your shadow, but let the conviction sink in if it's you. Well, what do you mean, Serge? Okay, let me give you some examples, okay? It's why the guys aren't here, because you can't talk about this for guys. But I can talk about you, because my wife's sitting right there, and I'm being fatherly, brotherly in the Lord. Okay, if you are wearing clothes so tight that a guy can see every contour of your lower half, back, front, in between, and everywhere, and I won't go further, but hopefully that was graphic enough for you, everywhere, okay, that's not modest. If you are wearing clothes so tight, listen to this one, that we can decipher the kind of underwear you are wearing, or perhaps decipher that in fact what you're wearing is barely underwear, and do you guys know what I mean? That's not modest. Well, now he's telling us what kind of underwear to wear. Legalist freak? No, you're not listening to me. Wear whatever you want. I'm simply telling you that I don't want to know what kind of underwear you're wearing. I don't want to see what kind of underwear you're wearing. I don't want to perceive that you're wearing something that's barely underwear or whatever you're wearing or not wearing. I don't want to see it. So change your outfit because that's not for my eyes or our eyes. If you are showing excessive skin or really tight shape and definition to all the provocative parts, all around and everywhere, above, below, under, in between, around, everything, get it in your head, what I'm talking about, that's not modest. So Serge is saying then that every dress is modest then, right?
No.
Because I've seen dresses and shirts that are so thin. We talked about it, Tammy and I. It's crazy how deceptive the world's getting, even with fashion, what they do. Shirts and dresses that are so thin or light and actually loose that they're basically almost see-through, or they may as well be, the way that they cling to the body. I've also seen them tight and provocative. Clothing is now geared towards showing everything. Tammy got me like a cheap t-shirt that's like cool. I like put it on, I'm like cool. I'm like, you can see through it. Like it's a red or a blue shirt and you can see through it. Like I can't wear this. And I'm a dude. Like we don't even make people stumble, especially me, when we're wearing something. We're not like provocative. But like if that's in men's clothing, you gotta believe that there's stuff, like I said, so thin, so loose, it clings, it's see-through. So now you're like, Serge, I can't think straight. You're confusing me. There's so much here. Well, here's my question. Do you see how hard this is? You know, if you would, ladies, just exercise discernment and pursue holiness, men would not have to bring this stuff up. I wouldn't have to talk about the contours and the in and the out and the where and the what. If you just do it yourself and exercise discernment, ask a sister. When you're in doubt, change the outfit. Bathing suits, how about them? I can't believe he recommends a one piece. What a legalist. I can't believe. Here's what I can't believe. Here, you ready for what I can't believe? Since you provoked me with your question about you can't believe that I suggest a one piece, I can't believe you think it's comfortable for me as your pastor, or any other brother for that matter, to see you in what amounts to be basically underwear if I were to have met you in the street or in the store. That's what bikini is. You want to get awkward? I don't. But you take that bathing suit, slap it on you in the middle of the street, now it's real awkward. What are we talking about here? I'm the legalist? Girls, you got to be modest. You got to think this stuff through. Well, some one pieces are really provocative, you know? You're telling me? Yeah, they are. Contour, shape again. I've seen one pieces that basically don't cover anything, especially on the lower half, or cover it in such the right way that the passing eye can see pretty much everything. You mean everything? Everything. Not everything. And then sisters post the pictures of themselves in that on Instagram, to which I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not good. Tammy, what are we doing, honey? This is not good. The elders are telling me that the drinking problem in the church is coming from the young singles that I shepherd. And when you go on social media, you can see everything. Or it's implied. Guys, examine, pray, ask, and above all else, desire modesty. It is not your Christian liberty to profane your bodies in the sight of men by causing them to stumble. Number four. These are areas that I think we need to work on, okay? I told you alcohol, media, immodesty. Number four, tattoos. I can't believe he's bringing it up. Now, listen, it's not to make anyone uncomfortable or embarrassed, and there is no judgment here on it. This is instruction, listen, for going forward. If you have them, fine. Like I said, consider the marks of grace. Whatever decision you made, you're moving forward in Christ, move forward. I just want to help train people to think biblically. See, the problem with the tattoo is it's permanent. So this is a tough topic because anyone, when you make that decision to get it, it makes you automatically defensive. Why does getting a tattoo instantly make you defensive on the issue? Because it's what? It's permanent. Now you've got it. You can't stop the drinking. You can't stop getting it. It's on you now. So now you have to defend it. You can't go back. You have to be aggressive about tattoos, which is why I urge caution. Because when you mark your body, and I can make a real tight biblical case on the dangers of it. Once you mark your body, now you're stuck. So now you don't really have the option to go back to self-control. You've done it. You made a statement. And now you got to defend it. You've committed yourself to a grave pushing of the boundaries of Christian liberty. Now, let me explain it. Tattoos. Is this modest? Is it godly or profitable or edifying? Look, we got to think of everything we just got out of 1 Corinthians 10. Let me talk again. Is it modest? Check out my body. Look what's all over it. Is it godly? Is it profitable? Everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Is it edifying to you spiritually or to the body? Is it glorifying? Is this honoring God with your body? Or is it sensual? Is it worldly? Is it pagan? Is it careless? Is it immodest? Look at me and the markings I have in my body now. Is it vain? Serge, this is a hard argument. Hold on now. I do have testimony in my favor, because all the mature Christians in my life that I know, and all the mature pastors that I know, even nationally, even when you go on, like, listen to Piper and MacArthur and all these guys, they all fall on the same side. So you're like, you can't qualify tattoos as worldly? No. I can, I did, and I will. It is. It's a sensual pursuit. There's no verse against it. Everything's permissible. Hey, listen, I understand that, but stop giving me the philosophy of the age. Everything may be permissible, guys, but not everything is profitable. And at a really awkward spot, I lost my... There it is, next page.
Tattoos that are promoting, like...
We're going to talk about that. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6 to give you an idea. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 6, that your bodies, here's the principle, are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought at a price, he says. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. Serge, why'd you bring this one up? Because no one will talk to you about this issue. Because everyone, for Pete's sake, is afraid to talk about the six-letter word, tattoo. I'm not anymore. Because the abuse of liberty has hit such a point in the culture and in my beloved sisters that my spirit has been aroused. And I will not be silent. And just like Jeremiah says, every time I cry out destruction and punishment. And then they get mad at me. You tricked me, God. Remember, I said this to you guys recently. And so Jeremiah goes, I'm not going to talk anymore. And he goes, but I can't. Because the word of God is like a fire in my bones and I'm weary of keeping it in. I can't. It hit a point. No one will address tattoos with you. Everybody's scared. Well, I'm addressing it. You better think before you mark your body. Rather than glorifying Christ-likeness with things like tattooing ourselves, we're glorifying hedonism, pleasure-seeking, and the habits of heathens. We've got students here, ladies, getting tattoos, flaunting it on social media, and then beyond that, others in here clicking the heart button. And I'm sitting there as a pastor saying, I'm like, folks, what are we esteeming in this group of ours? What I just told you is literally true. And I'm thinking, what are we esteeming? Are we esteeming worldliness? Or Christ-likeness? Are we esteeming vain, carnal living? Or holiness and modesty and meekness? And if you've done it, stop beating yourself up. Move forward in grace if you're convinced. If you're not convinced, we can talk more. But if you're convinced, don't feel the burden of judgment. Feel the glory of mercy and grace. Okay, the culture convinced me of something, made a decision. Let's move on in grace. I'm trying to help you with future decisions. We've got young men in the Christian community burying themselves on social media posts, half naked, showing off their new tattoo, claiming Christ. And we're all like, he's so godly. Where is the Christian modesty and abstinence? That rips my heart out. Why don't we call a guy like Randy godly, who doesn't do that and abuse Christian liberty? And you can't say, answer your question, Melissa, Christian tattoo. Because that is such, I know you're not being this. This is not at you. I had the question too. We all think it. That's so Pharisaical. You're acting like a self-righteous Pharisee. Oh, I can do it as long as it's sanitized with a Bible verse. You don't sanitize your carnal living. It's carnal living. Be tricking God because it says Christ loves me. Now all of a sudden you didn't cut yourself like the world. Let me give you an example. Serge, I'm not following you. Okay, let me give you an example. I was at Breakwater Beach with my wife, okay? This is the abuse of Christian liberty. Give me a break. By the way, some of you, I apologize, I only look at you because you stare very well. So some of you stare extremely well, and so I keep looking at you. It's not because I'm like, I'm looking at you. It's just because some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I've stared at you a lot this because you stare well. Others, not that you don't stare well, but that's why. Okay, I'm not pointing at it. Tam and I are at Breakwater Beach, the kids. Now, Tammy told me to look just for the sake of a teachable moment, but then told me not to look, and I stopped looking. This girl, mom, middle-aged mom, string bikini, and she was extremely attractive. and provocative. And it was an American flag bikini, which to my mind had an insult to injury. That's not where the flag belongs. Provoking men. But anyway, it's a string bikini, American flag, right? Okay. I hope this gets you guys like it got me. Right here. Now you see where I'm positioning my hand, right? I'm on the contour of a very provocative portion of a woman's anatomy. And she had provocative anatomy. Right here. Tattoo. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. What irreverence to the name of Christ. That you bear your body like property in immodesty. Bear your Christian liberty to mark your body like the pagans and then stick it in my face that you're a lover of Jesus. Do you see the profanity? Wow. That's a Pharisee. That's external religion. That's bizarre. Anybody think that's bizarre? A little head nod? Is that sick? Don't put my name... the name of my Savior? Contouring your breast that is almost exposed to the world? The name of my Savior? That's where we've sunk, guys. If you think tonight was a lot, that's where we've sunk. Because I saw that 2 weeks ago. And I don't want you there. And I've got the guts to tell you not to go there. You want to do tattoos, and you got a biblical case for it, keep it to yourself and keep it private. Don't flaunt it. You get it, keep it private. We don't need social media posts and other Christians liking it, and now we're all esteeming hedonism. You want to drink alcohol, you want to get a tattoo, keep it private. You got a little sweet, sexy lower back, make everybody stare at your butt thing. Keep it covered. Give me a break. Legalist, I'm done with that. I'm done with that accusation. Pursue Christ up high. And if you've made decisions in the past that you regret, guys, grace, grace, grace. All right, number five, social. You guys go to bed early during the week? Not tonight.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I do.
Sleepless nights. Social media, number five. The last three are quick. Social media, I could do 3 hours. But you got to understand something. You are duped by social media. Social media is I don't know who runs it, but it is eaten up by women, and it is the vice of women, and I will not have to spend this much time on it with the men because they don't struggle with it. Vanity is a particular sin of women. Social media, if you don't know it, is feeding your self-absorption and your ego and your personal vanity and love of your appearance. It feeds the self, and it also feeds immodesty. The amount of bathing suit posts and selfies in provocative positions from people in this group, from professing Christian women, is absurd. And like I said, the fact that you like your friends when they post this stuff, don't. What do you like about it? Help them. Provocative outfits, or even simple pics. I'm even going there. Well, the picture's not provocative. But yeah, when you constantly are posting, ladies, it is unbecoming. Ladies, I love you. I am your brother in Christ. I know people who know you and see your posts in the church. And it is unbecoming for you to constantly put up selfies, even if they're not provocative, of how cute am I? Look at me. Ladies, stop. That's not what your witness should be. Is there no end to the vanity? Read your Bible. Merely the self-centeredness of Instagram is spiritual cancer. What do I do? Well, get rid of it if you have to. If you can't keep your cute butt post off of Instagram, sorry, I hope that wasn't too coarse. Or if you can't keep your cute pose off of every 5 minutes of Instagram, get rid of it. Do something profitable. You're cute. Your face is not constructive to the gospel. Your witness is, and you're all very cute. I love you. You are. But your face is not constructive to the gospel. Wow, he's going to judge me every time I put a post up. No, would you stop? You know the difference. I've seen plenty of posts of you guys that make my heart melt. You guys are at the beach, or you're like laughing, or you're like, awesome. You know what I'm talking about. Kiss your face. Backside, kiss your face. And it's like, even if it's not backside kissy face, how, an hour stream of you and your face, does that not speak a testimony? What does it speak? It speaks the opposite of Christ. It speaks self-absorption, vanity, obsession with physical appearance. Just stop it. Post your Bible verse. Oh, and by the way, when you post your personal devotions in the morning, you know, like the cool coffee with the Bible, make sure you do them. Don't just post them. Because that's Pharisee. Do them first, then post them. Or as a matter of fact, ooh, I'm going to go there. Do them and don't post them. Because God says in the Sermon on the Mount, right? What you do when you pray, go in your closet, close the door, and what you do in secret, God will reward you. Amen? Don't give up your eternal treasure and reward in Christ because you had to put your quiet time devotional Instagram post out there. You just lost a good treasure. Gained some approval from men. You lost a lot. Well, no, he's judging every post. He's going to post a Bible verse. Would you stop? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying use discernment. If it's profitable to post a verse, post it. If it's profitable to post a picture of you guys fellowship, whatever, post it. If it's not constructive, don't come to me with it's my Christian liberty. Don't come to me with everything permissible. If it's not constructive, it doesn't glorify Christ, lose it. Ditch it. All right, number 6, clicks. Hold the thought. Let me just wrap it up.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
Number 6 is clicks. Oh, you got to go?
Yeah.
Oh, no problem. That's okay. Sorry, Elena. We'll finish it. Record it and get it on there. Love you, sister. You're faithful to make it that far. Clicks. Okay? We seem to esteem... Now listen. In this group... I'm going to go there. I'm going to describe it in all of its color. We seem to esteem... Okay, so we said alcohol. We said what? We said media, immodesty, tattoos, social media, clicks now. We seem, even in this group, CC Girls, to esteem the tattoo, bikini, selfie crowd who knows how to drink liberally and knows the best hot spot in Asbury. I'm serious. That's the cultural vibe I get from you guys. Not everybody, but the general tenor is that we're esteeming the tattoo, bikini, selfie crowd who knows how to drink liberally, knows how to get the attention of cute guys and knows the best hot spot in Asbury. And my message to you is, best hot spot bar in Asbury, is that this should not be the inside crowd in a Christian community. That should not be us. We need to stop forming cliques based on who can outdo the next girl in being worldly. And we need to find the godly woman, and follow her and hang with her and make sure those that are pursuing Christ are in the center of the church. And those pursuing the world who profess Christ are on the outside looking in. Okay? The ones who... I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm not saying exclude non-believers. We want to invite non-believers in. But people who profess Christ and are acting like the world need to be feeling like they're on the outside looking in. And the center of the community is those that are obsessed with Jesus. And you don't cultivate that by liking sensual, worldly things on social media. We need holy influence. And the last thing is reckless dating, which you're probably like, what? Did I tell us to date? Yes, I encourage relationships, but not bouncing around between relationships, not starting one, and then 5 minutes later putting up a zillion social media posts declaring your forever love, and then you break up 5 months later. You look like a flirt and a casual worldly dater, and it's not a good witness. It is unbecoming. People have noticed that? Yeah. And once again, it's not my hobby horse, because the elders have brought it to my attention.
My girls.
Yeah, my girls. Get married. Pursue a godly man. Be very thoughtful. Be very discreet. Be very careful. And don't get it out there until you know this is the Lord's leading. Seek the Lord's will in it. Don't be a flirt. Don't look for marriage. Serve the Lord. Look to serve the Lord. Dating non-believers? What? Are you kidding me? No. 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 And what? No. You want to talk more about dating non-believers and the no factor? We can do that. All right. That was the 7th one. Areas we got to be careful of, ladies. Alcohol, media, immodesty, tattoos, social media, clicks, and reckless dating. There's probably more. That's what's on my heart. I made a biblical case for my pastoring of your life. I made a biblical case for what Christian liberty is. I made a biblical case for how to practice it. And I made a biblical case on where we need to be careful. And I love you desperately. And so does Tammy. you've got questions, see us. If you're upset, come talk to me. If something is troubling you, come talk to me. We will grace and mercy, but we want to help you grow. Let's pray. If people have to go, that's fine. I promised you, well, I didn't promise, but I committed to a Q&A, and Tammy's got some great answers, and I want you to hear her talk. So if you got to go, it is totally fine. No one will judge you and be like, I can't believe I couldn't stay up. But if even two people stay, we got some Q&A, and I want to honor that and do a little time. You still got it in you? Cool. You're a sweetheart. You're a warrior woman. Let's pray. God, we love you and thank you for your gracious word. I pray that tonight was a blessing. It was a marathon. I will say in this group, and I kind of love it about them, we don't do anything lightly. We go to prayer meeting hard. We go to mission trips hard. We do Bible studies hard. We're intense. I love them. And I hope they know I love them. And I encourage them, and it's not a lie, and I'm talking just like Paul. They excel in so many areas. We got to fix this. For this to come to the attention of the elders and then come back to me as a minister of the gospel in these women's lives, it's a problem. So, Lord, even if our parents are exercising Christian liberty in these unbiblical ways, rein us back in. If people are polluting our minds with this stuff, rein us back in. And let our single and greatest pursuit be Christ himself, our higher calling in him, to conform to Christ, and in all things to glorify God, because that is our calling, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, to the glory of God. We love you, Jesus, and thank you and give you praise. Bless this time even now as we turn to some Q&A. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 If you got to stretch, we'll start in like 2 minutes. If you got to go, that's fine. You got to get a drink. Go to the bathroom. There's a bathroom up here. There's a bathroom down here. Water, coffee, no water.